Hello and welcome to the first session of the Prayer Course. My name is Poppy Williams. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but these days I live and work on the Spanish island of Ibiza. I'm here today with my friend Pete Gregg. Pete's a pastor in England who kickstarted a worldwide prayer movement all the way back in 1999, and it's still going strong today. He's written a whole bunch of books about prayer, including this one, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, which really links into what we're going to be talking about during this course. All in all, he couldn't be better qualified to teach us about prayer. So Pete, here we are, the first session of the prayer course. Can you maybe give us an idea of where we're going to be headed over these next eight sessions?
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? I feel like we're at the start of a real adventure, because there's nothing more exciting than really connecting and communicating with the living God. Yeah. With my wife, Sammy, if you heard that we don't spend time together and I don't listen to her and we don't talk to each other, you might question the quality of our marriage, even though we have a marriage certificate. And I think in the same way, in your relationship with God, it's not enough just to have like baptismal certificates or all the kind of right stuff. It really is about prayer. It's about your relationship with him through communication. So this is the heart of everything.
So then basically the goal of this course is to help people grow in that relationship with God.
Yeah, exactly. By the end of 8 weeks, you'll be better at hearing God's voice. You'll be experiencing more of his presence. I hope you'll have processed some of your disappointments and your struggles in prayer. And I think that you'll even be experiencing more miracles because you'll be learning how to unlock the power of prayer.
I love that, like the idea of unlocking the power of prayer. Like I'm in for that.
Good, I'm glad, because if I was sitting here on my own, it'd be a bit weird.
Yes, it would. So your book is called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. So is this course going to be the same? Like, is this for everybody?
Yeah, it really is. And I can't guarantee everybody watching this is going to be normal, but we are going to try and keep it simple. And we're going to cover a lot of ground. I'm aware that some people watching this is going to be pretty new to Christianity, and so it is going to be accessible. And others probably been Christians for years and years and years, but actually there's always more to learn. And the truth is that everybody prays. We all do, even people who don't call themselves Christians. I remember the first time I held our son, I prayed, and I think most people would relate to that, even non-churchgoers. The first time I saw the Northern Lights, I was just lost in wonder. Prayer was a natural response. And probably most sort of, vulnerably, when Sammy, my wife, was wheeled off down the hospital corridor to have surgery that we didn't know if she'd survive, you better believe I prayed. And when she came back alive and well, I thanked God. And it wasn't me trying to do this religious thing. It was just to be humans, to pray. The word prayer in the Latin, the original, is precarious. And I think that's exactly right. We pray because life is precarious. And it's marvelous and it's wonderful. It's too big for our heads and our hearts to contain. Rabbi Abraham Heschel puts it beautifully. He says, prayer is our humble answer to the inconceivable surprise of living. I love that.
Wow. I know you guys did this great little animation a few years ago that's exactly about this. It's called Why Pray? Maybe we should take a look at that.
Have you ever wondered why so many people pray? Well, Albert Einstein said that there's really only two ways to live, as if nothing's a miracle or as if everything's a miracle. Either life's a fluke and we're just a bunch of highly evolved animals on a big rock lost in space, or there's a creator behind creation, a God behind goodness. And if so, then connecting with him in prayer is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing you can do. Archaeologists keep digging stuff up that shows we've always prayed. People of many faiths pray daily. Even atheists admit to praying sometimes. Real prayer is a two-way conversation with the living God who loves and listens to the things we say. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and it'll be done." We have a chance to ask for peace, healing, help, or whatever we need. Life matters. You matter. Your choices, thoughts, prayers, and actions echo in eternity. But in case you hadn't noticed, God is pretty much invisible and not always easy to hear. There are distractions, disappointments, and questions that we all share. That's why 24/7 prayer does stuff to help thousands of people in hundreds of places connect with God in new ways. People are learning to pray by just praying. And today, millions are discovering that God's real. Life's a miracle. And the most powerful thing you can ever do is to pray.
So on this course, we're going to be working through the Lord's Prayer. And it might make sense to take a look at that now together. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And we read verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" The one thing that the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to help them with was prayer. "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't ever say, you know, "Teach us to preach," or "Teach us to plant churches," or "Teach us to share our faith." They said, "Teach us to pray," because they could see that this was the key to everything about their rabbi's ministry. And they say, "Teach us to pray." Now, these men went on to have incredible prayer lives. They prayed over handkerchiefs and people got healed. They prayed, people raised from the dead. They even prayed for their persecutors at the point of death. So they went on to have amazing prayer lives, but it has to begin at a moment in time where they just humbly kind of say, we actually need help in this area. And that's what we're doing really at the start of the prayer course. We're just saying, "Lord, teach us to pray," over these 8 sessions. Because we all find it difficult. I love the story of Teresa of Avila, who was like this big saint, this holy nun. And she once admitted that sometimes she shakes her hourglass to make her hour of prayer go quicker, which I can really relate to.
Yes, I can relate to that as well.
Because, you know, prayer is difficult, isn't it? And the good news of this story where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer is that when we ask him for help, he promises to help us.
Can you maybe give us an idea about how the next 8 sessions are going to break down?
When you say to people the word prayer, everyone has a different idea of what that actually means. And that's because really there's lots of different ways of praying. There isn't just one way. It's a bit like this toolbox here. There's a bunch of different tools, hammers and, you know, screwdrivers and all stuff. And the thing is, obviously everyone knows every tool is there to do a different job. And if you called a handyman around and said, "Can you fix something?" He said, "Well, I only know how to use a hammer, but I don't use a screwdriver." You'd think he wasn't a very good handyman.
Not a good handyman at all.
Yeah. And in the same way with prayer, why limit yourself? There's a whole range. The Lord's Prayer is a bit like a toolbox, and we're going to go through those different tools together on this course. So first of all, you've got "Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name." So that means next session we're going to be looking at adoration, the hallowing of God's name. And then there's "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's intercession. Mm-hmm. And then it's "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, that's a number of things. Firstly, that's petition. Petition is asking God for our own needs. Intercession is asking God for other people's needs.
Okay.
But daily bread is also about listening to God, because his word is spiritual as well as physical. So we're going to think about listening and about unanswered prayer as well, because we all have disappointments and struggles and we need to be honest about those. We're going to look at contemplative prayer. And then there's "Deliver us from the evil one." Well, that's kind of to do with spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at all sorts of different tools, different types of prayer. And online on the Prayer Course website, we've got a tool shed where there's just lots of practical little articles on different types of prayer, like how to keep a journal, or how to go on a pilgrimage, or how to fast. And so, as well as these videos and the discussions in groups, you can go there and get lots of tips on how to use all the different tools.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. Tell me though, like, what would you say to the person that's out there right now? They're watching, they've just gotten started with all of this, and in their minds they're thinking, I just thought prayer was prayer. And you guys are using all these big words like adoration or intercession.
Right. Yeah, the best bit of advice I ever got about prayer was keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
I like that. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up.
Yeah, your prayer life really is at its best when it's at its simplest. I always tell the story about I was walking down the street near where I used to live one day, and God spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just this really strong impression, sort of out of nowhere, that I've learned to recognize can often be the voice of God. And the impression was random. It was, look at that tree. And so I froze and I stared at this tree in the street, and it looked like some idiot, really, and people walking past thinking I'm having some kind of episode. And I'm thinking, what, you know, is this like going to be my burning bush
like
moment?
You're waiting for something to happen.
Right, you know, the tree's going to fall over, I'm going to save someone or whatever. And eventually it's getting embarrassing. So I say, okay, God, what happens now? I'm looking at the tree. And I sensed that he said, I just thought it was a great tree. And so I'm there going, good job on the tree, Lord. And I guess he said, thanks very much. Here's the point. I know it's like the most underwhelming story of all time, but actually your prayer life is at its best when you're saying stuff like good job on the tree, or, you know, thank you for this lovely day, or whatever. Adam and Eve used to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening every day before, this is important, before there was any sin or sickness or suffering in the world. So we have to ask, what did they talk to him about?
Right.
Because mostly, I don't know about you, mostly what I speak to God about, if I'm not careful, is problems. It's, you know, healing, or, you know, confessing sin, asking God for help with problems. People I want to see saved. And actually, they must have just said to him things like, good job on the tree.
Mm.
And one day there will be no more sin or sickness or suffering in the world, but there'll be you and God. So what will you talk to him about?
Right.
So that's the thing. Our prayer lives really are at their best when we are simply walking and talking with God about the real stuff of life.
So your prayer life is at its best, at its simplest.
Exactly. And Jesus says that explicitly. If we read the Message version of Matthew chapter 6,
okay.
Listen to this. This is kind of teaching that, you know, is right at the heart of the prayer course. Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 6, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God.
I love that.
Exactly.
Role play before God.
I think I might have done that at times. Just be there, he says, as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, says Jesus, you can pray very simply. And then he goes on to give the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus is explicit. We should keep it simple, but also keep it real. He says, don't role play before God. Be honest. Don't pretend. And actually, I find that the Bible is way more honest often than the church about the pain and the disappointments and unanswered prayer. And often the Bible's not happy clappy, but it's deeply honest. There's a parable that Jesus told, you probably remember it, about the Pharisee and the tax collector who go up to the temple to pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And imagine Jesus telling it, there's this crowd, and there will have been Pharisees in the crowd, and then other people who probably thought they were bad at prayer, unlike, you know, the big holy Pharisees. So Jesus, like, in telling this story, there's a little twinkle in his eyes. He says, you know, the Pharisee prayed all the right prayers, you know, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then you've got the tax collector, like despised, and he's like hiding in the corner, like rocking backwards and forwards, just saying, you know, I'm a sinner. And then Jesus, like he I imagine him winking at one of the Pharisees in the crowd when he says, he goes, which of them went home heard by the father? It was the tax collector. So Jesus is saying, be honest, be real, be yourself with God. Yeah. So we've got to keep it simple, keep it real. But also Jesus just says, keep it up. Don't give up praying too soon. And again, he told another parable about a widow who lost a coin. And he says explicitly in that, you must keep praying and not give up. When our son Danny was really little, he got to that stage where he wanted to be able to write, but he couldn't.
Okay.
And so he would scribble away on bits of paper, and we would encourage him. So he would, you know, he'd say, look what I've written, and you'd say, great job, it's like Shakespeare, you know. But then one time he did this, and then he said, Dad, read it. And you stare at anything, obviously it's nonsense, it doesn't make any sense. But what I found was I could look at his face, and as his dad, I could read his face. I knew the kind of day he had had, the weird little things that go on in his head, the way he's feeling. I could probably even see his dinner on his face. And so I guessed at what the scribbles meant. And as I read his scribbles, he was there nodding, saying, you know, good job, Dad, good reading, well done. And I said, thank you, because it really was some of the best reading I'd ever done. And I do think prayer is a lot like that. We kind of obsess about getting the right words, the right techniques, but it doesn't impress God. Our Father in heaven reads our faces, our hearts. He knows the kind of day we've had, the weird little things that go on in our head. And he interprets our prayers. And that's exactly what it actually says in Romans chapter 8, one of the great passages about prayer in the Bible, starting at verse 26 of Romans 8. Listen to this and think of that image of Danny with his scribbles. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Do you ever feel like that?
Absolutely.
We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So imagine the next time you're trying to pray, you don't know if you're getting through, you don't know if you're quite articulating what's really going on. The Holy Spirit is interceding in groans for you at that moment. And he who searches our hearts, so imagine me searching the heart of my son, your Father in heaven, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So that's just a beautiful description of it's not about the scribbles, it's about the heart.
I love that. It's just so reassuring, right? That the Holy Spirit is doing that when we don't know what to say. He's interceding for us. So then just to kind of recap what we've talked about, you said that we just need to ask Jesus to teach us to pray.
Yeah, Lord, teach us to pray.
And we learned that prayer is kind of like this toolbox here. There's a lot of different types, and we're going to be learning about a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And then your number one piece of advice was to keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
Exactly. Very good.
Well, why don't we pray?
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, would you please teach us to pray. Thank you that we don't have to get it all right all the time, that we just need to present our hearts to the Father, just like Pete's son Danny with his drawings. Holy Spirit, there are so many times when we don't know what to say. Would you please help each one of us to grow closer to you and deeper in prayer over the coming weeks?